Let's talk some 49ers football. If I can bear it. Let's do it with Brian Peacock of the Locked On 49ers podcast. He joins us now after that exceptionally long intro. Brian, how are you doing, my friend?
Who's watching basketball anyway, Dieter? It's football season. Okay. Come on.
I know.
The NBA doesn't start till Christmas, right?
Well, it might start a little bit sooner around these parts, given the way the 49ers are playing.
Yeah, the 49ers got some work to do to keep everybody's interest away from the Warriors, that's for sure.
My goodness. Where do we start with them? Because I'm just all sorts of disengaged, I got nothing. I'm dissed. I'm completely dissed by the San Francisco 49ers right now. Can you talk me into this team being worth my attention?
Yeah, well, they're going to win a bunch of games because their schedule gets really easy. That was a tough three-game stretch. And look, they lost all three of those tough games, so that's not great. But even at 2-3, now winning the West is going to be difficult where a team has a 6-0 head start like the Arizona Cardinals and already has beaten the 49ers. But they're going to win some games, and they're going to be in this. And the 49ers have every opportunity to go grab one of those wild card spots and turn this thing around. And I don't think they're any worse, even when they're not playing at an optimal level, than some teams that are like the Minnesota Vikings and the Carolina Panthers that are fighting for that wild card spot. So that'll be interesting down the stretch. And obviously a Russell Wilson-less Seattle Seahawks team is not very good, and I think is clearly worse than the 49ers. So this thing can definitely turn around for the 49ers, and I think some weak opponents is exactly what the 49ers need, and I think that's exactly what they have coming up on the schedule.
They don't have a weak opponent this upcoming weekend on Sunday Night Football against the Colts. Listen, I'm not in on Carson Wentz. He's not my kind of quarterback, but the 49ers might have a very similar kind of quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo under center, in which case I think I prefer Carson Wentz. Tomorrow's a big day for the 49ers. If Trey Lance isn't practicing, it's hard for me to imagine that he's going to be the starting quarterback. Is it already just a fait complete that Jimmy's going to get a go again, regardless of whether Lance is in?
Yeah, it's not about whether Lance is practicing or not. It's about whether Jimmy's practicing or not. If Jimmy's practicing, this is Jimmy's show, and we heard John Lynch talking with Matt Maiocco recently about some of these things, and basically the way he said it, and it's really the way that Kyle Shanahan has treated this thing, is they're going week to week and quote unquote what gives you the best chance to win, and clearly Kyle Shanahan trusts Jimmy Garoppolo more, and you know he can run the bigger part of the playbook, so that's the way it's going to be. And I don't know what could tip the tide to Trey Lance aside from another Jimmy Garoppolo injury. I think it would have to be to a point where the season was in the tank and they had really no other opportunity. But while they're still trying to contend, it looks like it's going to continue to be Jimmy Garoppolo's job. And yeah, I'm with you. I think Jimmy G and Carson Wentz kind of are in that same category of quarterback where you're kind of looking around for something better, but they've done some things in the past and they've won some games and you're hoping you can squeeze a few more wins out of them while you figure out what you're doing at quarterback.
What kind of blackmail does Jimmy G have on Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch? I mean, seriously, how much more do we need to see? He hasn't made a good throw all season, and all he does is turn the damn ball over. Play the kid. The kid at least gives you upside. I see no upside to having Jimmy Garoppolo in the game.
Look, I'm with you, and I think it is a little bit short-sighted because, yeah, maybe you would have a better chance to win this week. Maybe the game goes differently against the Cardinals if Jimmy G starts instead of Trey Lance. But Trey Lance's 49ers moved the ball just as much as Jimmy Garoppolo's 49ers did this season. And aside from jumping out to a quick start against the worst team in the NFL and the Detroit Lions in week one, they haven't done much in the first half of games. So I don't think it's beyond a possibility that the young, talented rookie, if he got three straight starts and all those practice reps for a month, could be just flat out better than Jimmy Garoppolo anyway and give you a better chance to win later on this season. And I've expected for a couple of years now Jimmy Garoppolo to take another step and continue to develop in Kyle Shanahan's offense, and we just haven't seen it yet this year, and I think it's time to stop expecting that from Jimmy G. We know exactly who he is. And the bad, raw version of Trey Lance, I don't think has been really much worse from what we've seen so far.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Like, there is no more to be gotten from Jimmy Garoppolo. And right now, you can't make a viable case, and I'm not throwing this all on you. This is everybody out there. You can't make a viable case to me that the kid who doesn't know what he's doing isn't better than the guy who's been in the league for 8 years and supposedly does. One of them moves the ball, the other one doesn't. And so the notion that I'm just venting on you. I'm sorry. Can we talk about something else? Let's talk about Fred Warner, who has also kind of underperformed this year. What have you made of Fred Warner's performance so far in the campaign?
I think Fred Warner's been fine. I think with the back seven of the 49ers, really, they just haven't made a lot of big plays. And so I think that would really, you know, buoy the production from Fred Warner. It's not enough when you get, you know, when you're in that pace scale as Fred Warner is, and he's a leader of the team. And he's even recently talked about how it's not so much about talent, it's about execution. And the 49ers haven't executed all that great. And they haven't made any big plays. You got to start, you know, punching the ball out and intercepting the ball and taking the ball away, because the defensive line is doing a pretty good job of harassing quarterbacks. And that's the way this team is built. I think they could even be better up front than they have been. But the corners haven't really been a problem, but they haven't really made any plays either. And neither have the safeties. So Tart, Ward, Fred Warner, the veterans on that roster need to come up with some big plays and start giving teams a reason not to try them anymore down the field, because I don't think teams are really worried about chucking a deep on you when you never take the ball away.
Is the defensive line underperforming, or are they performing and everybody else is just not getting the job done?
Yeah, I think that I don't really have a problem with anything that's going on defense right now. And like I said, there's been a lack of big plays, but I think Fred Warner's been fine, not been, you know, extremely dynamic. But I think, you know, a couple of big plays, a couple of games, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, there's Fred Warner. That's right. Why he made all that money. I think Nick Bosa has been really good coming off a torn ACL, and he's got 5 sacks in 5 games. I think the interior of the defensive line has been a little bit disappointing, but I don't think I expected them to be much more than solid rotationally. I think a lot was expected of Kinlaw as a first-round pick, and I never really saw that from him last year, so I wasn't sure, and I think we've seen the same flashes this year as we did as a rookie. I think getting Hurst back could help, and he gives a little juice to the interior. I want to see more Eric Armstead on the inside because he's a better rusher from there, but Eric Armstead's been his normal self and been solid. I just think they've been a solid group and solid defensively, if unspectacular, but the defense is certainly not the problem. And that's why I think there's been so many fingers pointed at Kyle Shanahan recently, because he's the offensive genius. He's the offensive mastermind. He's had 5 years to add talent to the roster. And even the talent that he's added to the roster seems like he doesn't really even like all that much. And it's the offense that's holding the team back and not the defense.
That's something that I talk about all the time. I used to be deep into the college football coaching sphere, right? Like guys, the carousel, if you will. And one of the things that you would always look for in terms of a coach getting fired is, well, what is their specialty? And some guys are just motivators. They don't really have a specialty, and those guys get fired real easy. But sometimes you get the offensive guys, and if their offense stinks, you should fire them. If you're a defensive coach and your defense stinks, you should fire them. I'm not saying that Kyle Shanahan should be fired, but it's not good, as you mentioned, when the offensive coordinator and the offensive genius and the guy who gets all this credit all around the league and deserved it at a point can't seem to get an offense going. That feels problematic to me, and can't seem to find a way to make Brandon Ayuk, who seems very talented and did a lot of great things last year, can't seem to find a way to make that guy work. What do you make of that?
That's a huge mystery to me. And the fact that and now you hope it doesn't extend to Trey Lance, because that one's even on another level of how much he gave in the draft to go get him, right? And it seems like he doesn't trust him yet, but, you know, it wouldn't be the first rookie that's not quite ready to jump in and play quarterback for a contending team in the NFL. So at least understand where they're at with their quarterbacks and why they would trust a veteran over a rookie. But when you get a second-year guy like Ayuk, who played a lot and showed his dynamic ability as a rookie, and for him to have taken a step back, apparently he's not getting a ton of separation. They're not throwing him the ball. Even George Kittle, before he was hurt this season, hadn't been used that much as a pass catcher, and they haven't used his dynamism on offense as much either. And you're paying him too much to be a glorified blocker, as good of a blocker as he is. So you start to question the development from this offensive coaching staff. Does that mean there's too much on Kyle Shanahan's plate? Does he need an assistant head coach type? Does he need someone to? There's that famous clip when he was in in Cleveland, and he was the offensive coordinator, and young Kyle Shanahan, and he's about to call a play, and Mike Pettine's the head coach, and they're mic'd up, and he's like, hey, I think we should run the ball here. And Kyle Shanahan gives him that look. Like, it's pretty clear he wasn't going to call a run play right there.
Yep.
But maybe Kyle Shanahan needs that. Maybe he needs somebody who's been around the game a really long time and isn't a yes man, and some other coaches on the staff that can help him develop some of these players, because you start to look at all the players they've drafted, and especially the guys they've traded up for. And this year was Trey Sermon and his sixth rounders outproducing him. Who was behind that pick? What did they see in Trey Sermon that all of a sudden in training camp they don't like him, and they're almost scared to put him on the field? And that's a rookie running back, and running backs are one of the positions that you can play at early. And we saw what happened with Dante Pettis, who they traded up for, and C.J. Beathard. None of those guys got any better, and now we're starting to see it with Brandon Ayuk. So it's definitely worrisome, and I think development is such a huge part in the league, and just being a good play caller, there's just so much that goes into it as a head coach, developing talent and being in charge of the roster. And so, just being a great play caller and a great designer of plays isn't enough. And so still waiting to see what else Kyle Shanahan is.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free. See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Is giving this team, and to me it's the development of those players, and find some playmakers and get the ball in their hands.
Let me know if I'm on to anything here. This is something I've been throwing out for a minute now. What Kyle Shanahan's offense is not unique really anymore. It never was, but it was certainly more infrequent on the schedule for teams than it is right now, where everybody's running outside zone. There's like four teams that aren't. And you have Kyle Shanahan disciples and offshoots of the coaching tree pretty much everywhere. And just the stuff that he is throwing at other teams with his offense isn't fooling anybody. And they don't have the playmakers, for reasons that you've laid out, to make up for that. Is there something to the fact that just this outside zone stuff has become ubiquitous around the NFL?
I think so. I think you always have to adjust to the adjustments in the NFL. And so there's so many teams and so many defenses now see the outside zone and wide zone. They're really overplaying the outside and making sure somebody or multiple players are out there on the edge and bringing that back inside, and all the motion that teams are seeing now because Kyle Shanahan's teams, did so much play action, so much motion. He's trying to get so much information for his quarterback, which is probably one of the big things that Trey Lance is maybe swimming with right now, because there's a lot of pre-snap information that Kyle Shanahan wants you to know to run his offense
unless
the way he wants you to run.
Unless it's fourth down, by the way, in which case there will be no motion. We'll just figure it out.
And maybe he's struggling to call plays in a certain way for the rookie because of those reasons, because he wants to utilize the young player's athleticism too. So maybe some growing pains on in both parts there, and doesn't know exactly how he wants to use them yet, and doesn't have a big enough grasp of the playbook to use everything he wants to eventually use for Trey Lance. But I think there's definitely something to it. And, it's West Coast roots, and I think everybody knows the type of stuff he wants to use, and we're not seeing as many of those, wide leaks where a player's not covered within 20 yards of him. And I think Kyle Shanahan, that's the reason he likes to run the ball, is because he wants to be ahead of the sticks and ahead of the game, and he wants to be ahead of the scoreboard so he can utilize everything he wants to utilize and start rattling off plays and really getting a team on their heels. And he hasn't had a lot of chances to do that because they haven't scored a lot of points early in football games either. So I think it's a number of things, but I think you're definitely onto something, because so many teams now, and it's not just West Coast offense offshoots, it's actual Kyle Shanahan offense offshoots that are around the league.
And not only that, I mean, ideology seems to be getting in the way of pragmatism, and the quarterback situation could not be a clearer example of that. Again, what does Trey Lance do? It might not always be the exact play that's called, but he gets chunk yards. He just finds a way. And the more you give him opportunities, the more I think that's going to happen. But, heaven forbid, Jimmy lets the blackmail that he has on this team out in the next couple of weeks. What You mentioned that the schedule gets soft. We've mentioned that this upcoming game against the Colts is no gimme. What do you make of the Colts in general? This is a team that looked really bad to start the year and has looked better in recent weeks. Do you have a good read on them?
You know, the Colts are a lot like the 49ers in that it's hard to know who they are right now. And even John Lynch admitted that with that interview with we talked about earlier with Matt Maiocco. He said the 49ers need to show who they are. And I've said that recently. I watch this team as closely as you possibly can watch a team. I still don't know exactly who this version of the 49ers are.
Yeah.
And I feel that way about the Colts, too. And I think these teams are still finding themselves. And I think we'll learn a lot about both of these teams coming up. But the Colts, it's interesting because they only have two wins against two really bad teams in the Houston Texans and the Dolphins, who just lost to the Jaguars. The Dolphins are playing awful football right now. And those are the only two teams the Colts have beaten. But their four losses are against teams that won 10-plus games last year. So I think the 49ers are a good test for them. So they're a team that's not a gimme. They're a team that can beat you, but they're not a team that's playing at a level like Baltimore or who are the other teams they played to start the year? Well, Russell Wilson was on the Seahawks when they played the Seahawks.
A little bit of a different ball game there.
Yeah, so they played some really good teams to start. So that's what's going to be interesting in this game is for these teams who are, I think, pretty evenly matched. I think I would give the nod to the 49ers as far as roster top to bottom. And the 49ers are probably coming into this game thinking, we have to beat the Colts because we should be better than them. We're at home. Let's go beat this team that we should beat. And I think the last three games have been a little bit more difficult after a bye week, an extra week for Kyle Shanahan to prepare. The Niners better show something, I think, on Sunday night.
What team in the NFL are you buying in terms of these really good teams, and what team are you selling right now? If I had to give you some money and put it in the NFL stock market, where are you throwing it and where are you making sure it gets nowhere near?
Well, I mean, it's easy because they're the only unbeaten left, but I've been really impressed by the Cardinals every single week.
You think they're for real? I'm in the camp that they're for real. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got plenty of talented players and stars on defense that are playing that way. J.J. Watt's getting better. They have a quarterback that's really hard to play against. And with Cliff Kingsbury out, it didn't matter. And I was kind of not sure if Kingsbury was a good coach and was going to still be their coach after this year. And maybe it doesn't matter if he's coaching or not, because even with him out with COVID, they beat a really good football team in the Cleveland Browns this week. So they've got plenty of weapons on offense. Their lines are playing good. They can cover better than I expected. They've got a lot of young talent, and they've got stars making big plays. So that's a team that's looking pretty scary in the NFC. The Green Bay Packers are, you know, I think week one you could look at that team and with Aaron Rodgers out all summer and say, maybe week one for them was a little bit of a extended preseason game because they've been pretty awesome since then. So I'm buying on them. And the AFC, there's a lot of good teams, but I thought it was going to be the Chargers. And they didn't show me anything last week. So maybe it's not the Chargers either. But I think the Chiefs are more beatable than they have been. I thought the Bills were awesome. They let me down just like the Chargers did this week. So there's a lot of good teams, but that's going to be a fun tournament in the AFC.
I think I'm further in on the Chargers after they lost. And the way they lost was, like, impressive. Like, that was a really bad game for them. But they weren't able to stop the run going into that game against Baltimore. And I think that that's going to force them to make a trade for somebody in the middle. And I'm just not betting against Brandon Staley on if that team's problem is defense, I'm not betting against it. And Baltimore's defense was really good, but I don't know. I feel better about the Chargers after that loss. For some strange reason, can you talk me out of it?
I will say this: Brandon Staley and Justin Herbert, I don't know if I would buy stock in any coach quarterback tandem more than those two guys because they're young and they're both superstars, I think, in the NFL. I love everything I hear from Brandon Staley. He's very bright. He knows both sides of the ball. I don't know if the team is quite there yet. That defense scares me a little bit now the more I watch them. Maybe they're a year away. I'm not sure. But I was bought in, and they lost to a good team that's playing well right now in the Baltimore Ravens last week. So we'll see how they recover from that. And maybe they do make some midseason additions. But man, if you asked me the same question a week ago, my number one answer probably would have been the Chargers.
All right, well, let's hold on to that stock. Let's ride it to the top. We'll take it to the moon. And when we get back on the air in January, and you know, fingers crossed, we're still talking about the 49ers then. I'm not that optimistic about it, but chances are that they still have a shot. It's nothing is written in stone yet, even though my pessimism has taken over. But maybe we can talk about the Chargers then and how right we were to stay with the Los Angeles Chargers and be their only two fans in the whole wide world.
I love it. Their fans are growing. They're going to take over L.A.
I don't know, man. The Rams got a good jump start. And honestly, we can have that conversation for an hour, but I'm not sure anyone other than us would care, and my interest is waning in that area anyway. So
they feel destined to be the Clippers of the NFL, right?
Yeah. Maybe they can move back to San Diego like the Clippers, too. They should have done it a long time ago. Maybe Steve Ballmer will buy him instead. Brian, this is always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on. The podcast is the Locked On 49ers podcast. It is a must listen if you are a 49ers fan, and hopefully if you're still with us, you're a 49ers fan, and you know what kind of good work Brian does. Thanks for coming on again, man. We'll do it again soon.
Anytime, dear. Thank you.
Brian Peacock, ladies and gentlemen. You want to talk about KMBR tonight, All-Star. That guy. What is it? Starting three on him? It seems like a wing. I don't know. Maybe you can make him the four in a small ball lineup. Am I an all-star on this team, by the way? Like, do I get to be on the team, or am I the coach? Fish is telling me that I'm an all-star to him. That's nice. I'm sure that you say the same thing once the show is over.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.